I want to talk about what's at stake if you don't do this. Forget about what you could have. Let's talk about what's at stake if you don't do this.
Do you feel like you were meant to live a life of financial abundance? Like you know your money is supposed to work harder for you than you work for it? Maybe you heard about the stock market and the new millionaires being created and wonder, why not me? Maybe you want to invest in the stock market, but you don't know where to start. Maybe you have a 401k or an IRA, but you want to enjoy your money now, not just in retirement. Maybe you've already had some success in the stock market, but you want to take it to the next level. Working for somebody else and watching free YouTube videos will only get you so far. To truly be financially free, it takes a strategic game plan, an investor's mindset, and a willingness to take calculated risks. When you're ready to get out of the rat race and onto the fast track, join us here where we break down how to manage money, how to navigate the stock and options market, and how to approach investing with the right mindset. I'm Jason Brown, stock market coach and options trader, and this is the Money Markets and Mindset Podcast.
Hey, what's up, power traders? Welcome to the Money Markets and Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, stock market coach and option trader Jason Brown, and I want to just have a little chat with you today. We just came off our goal setting workshop with our members. In fact, we had opened it up to the general public. So if you're not on our email list, you probably didn't get invited to that. So make sure you jump on our email list so you can get invited to these special trainings. You can go to thebrownreport.com and just jump on our email list there. Or you can also text us at 313-251-2260. And if you want access to that training, just let me know. Jump on our text list, jump on our email list so we can stay in communication with you and let you know about those special trainings. But what's interesting about the goal setting workshop that we did, we talked about like how to plan out your year, how to think about investing in the stock market, how much money you need, what is the plan to get that money, or once you get that money in the market, what are the skills you need? So we really drove down into each intricate detail of what you need to do at each stage, at each level. If you're a beginner, or if you have no money, what's the goal to get the money? Well, then what's the goal to get the education? And what's the goal what to do with the money once you get it? So we really broke down all these different phases. So what does that have to do with today's episode? Well, what it has to do with today's episode is, you know, I was thinking about all the goals that people have as far as money. You know, what do they want to do with their money? I think about the unique cars, the Ferraris, the Lamborghinis, the big house, all the things that most people want. They have all these big goals and dreams. And then you think about like what really stops them from going after those goals and dreams. And it's usually, number one, is usually something with the mindset. And number two, most people make the fatal mistake of not getting started. So let me give you an example. Maybe you've heard of this story before, maybe you haven't, but I'll spare you the Bible or the fable version of it, and I'll just get right to the meat of this example. So you may have heard of this example, the would you rather example, where the question is, would you rather have $1 million up front, like, here you go, $1 million. Or would you rather have a penny that doubles every single day for 30 days? Okay. And so if you're not familiar with this example, most people will just be like, yes, just give me $1 million. Give me $1 million right here, right now. I'm done. I'm set for life. Well, anybody who's made $1 million knows that $1 million actually doesn't end up being a lot of money. And I guess, could you live off $1 million for the rest of your life? Maybe. But I can tell you, living a certain lifestyle, living in a certain house, driving a certain car, taking vacations, stuff like that, that money gets depleted pretty quickly. Ask any lottery winner that's made 20, 30, 40, multiple millions. That money gets depleted pretty quickly. All right. But most people would take $1 million. Now, on the other hand, if you were to take a penny a day that doubles every single day for 30 days, just for 30 days. So after 30 days, it won't double anymore. And anybody who knows this example, the power of compounding interest, if you took a penny a day that doubled every day, on the first day, of course, you'd have 2 cents, right? You're like, all right, I got 2 cents. Well, technically, on the first day, you'd have 1 penny, actually. So on the first day, you'd have 1 penny. On the second day, you would have 2 cents, right? On the third day, you'd have 4 cents. Fifth day, 8 cents, and so forth and so on. But as you get down to the 30th day, I ran this example. There's a spreadsheet out there. It's easy to kind of calculate. You just compound the interest over 30 days. But you end up on the 30th day with $5,368,709.12. Okay. Huge difference. That's almost 5 times the amount that you would have taken just taking $1 million one time versus taking a penny a day that doubles every single day for the next 30 days. Now, what's the significance of this example? The significance is most people come into the stock market or investing and they look at it like, if I can't make $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, $1 million in like 2 weeks or 30 days, then it's not worth me doing. It's not worth me trying. It's not worth me making the sacrifice to get in the game. It's not worth me staying up, watching these videos, studying. It's not worth me driving Uber or Lyft or something on the weekend to come up with the money. If I can't start with, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, some people actually, or mistakenly, I should say, they mistakenly believe and buy into the fact or the thought process that they should not get started if they don't have a lot of time or if they don't have a lot of money, because it's like, ah, what's this little $100 I have going to do? What's this $2,000 that I have going to do? Or if I buy a course and I only got $2,000, then I have no money to invest. But what they discount or don't give credit to is the compounding example that we just did. Because a person starts to think, well, if I'm going to take a penny and double it every day, like, what's that going to do? Right. So in the beginning, you're like, what? I'm going to go 1 cent, 2 cent, 2 cent to what? 4 cent, 4 cent, 8 cents, 16, 32 cents, 64. Like, what? Most people right there. Right there, about 64 cents, maybe $1.28. They don't even go and look farther out beyond that. They stop right there and think, like, what's that going to do? What's it worth? They never get to day 30 and realize, wait a minute. That small baby step of starting with a penny, that small baby step of getting the knowledge to find out how to even double a penny. Because there's a lot of ways you could double a penny, right? You can just go pull up and walk through any drive-thru in America and somebody's dropped their change outside the restaurant drive-thru window. And you can probably pick up a penny outside the restaurant. You can go to another restaurant the next day, a McDonald's, a Culver's, Chick-fil-A, there'll probably be a penny on the ground. So if you did that every single day, you could probably double your pennies up to a certain point, right? But with the stock market, you don't have to actually go garbage picking or collecting bottles or walking through drive-thrus. Technically, you could double your penny every single day in the stock market, but it's not about whether you double it every single day. What this is really about is taking the baby step with what you have. And so the penny example is just to show you that getting started with a penny that doubles and compounds every single day over a long period of time, which in this example, 30 days is a long period of time, because you start with 1 cent, 2 cent, 4 cent, 8 cents. So it seems like a long period of time. When we translate that to the stock market, when people get started with $500, $1,000, whatever the case may be, and we start to say, look out 5 years, 10 years, people think that that is a long period of time. And I think most people just don't have the right perspective, because to me, a long period of time, when I looked at working, most people work for 40 years and they don't live the lifestyle that they want to make. They work for 40 years. And then when they retire, there's this thing that says you work for 40 years to retire off of 40% of what you couldn't live on making 100%. So you work 40 years, you retire off 40% or half of that because you don't get your full pension, right? And so you have to now live off of a percentage of what you couldn't live off of when you was making 100%, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? But we will commit to 40 years for that. We won't commit 5 or 10 years. So here's the thing, though. I know if you're listening to this, you're not in that category. You are one that wants more for your family. You want to live a different lifestyle. You want to figure out how to have your money work for you. But there's probably some stumbling block that you can't get over. Now, if that's not you, if you don't really care about having your money work for you, finally being debt-free, financially free, worry-free at some point in the future, you don't really care about taking the vacations of your dream, then that's not you. Then check out, obviously, we didn't record this podcast or YouTube channel, wherever you're watching that, for you. But here's the thing. As cool as that example sounds, a double a penny a day. I did an example in our group where if you took about $4,000 and extracted it out over 5 years, you could become a millionaire using a certain compound and interest formula and using options to grow your account and earn that consistent percent return, or at least trying to earn that consistent percent return. And so it's totally possible to do. But here's what I want to do, because there's something stopping you from getting started. That's the point of all this. There's something stopping you from taking that baby step, from looking at that one penny and getting excited. And my goal is for you to get excited about that one penny or that $100 you have in your account. My goal is that you get excited that you get started on this journey. And so most people never miss what they never have. So like I said, that penny turns into $5 million, right? Something like over $5 million. Most people's like, that's cool. But what I found, and this is, and like people who study people's mindset and psychology and different things like that, I've read different books where it's like people don't identify with a large number like 5 million or 1 million because that's so far from what they currently make. They're so far away from what they currently do that it's like once you get like, oh, you could be a millionaire in 5 years, they like, I've been working the last 5 years and I make $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 at my job. There's no way I can be a millionaire in 5 years. And so they don't start the journey, or that number gets so far that they don't believe it's realistic. And so the studies also show that people don't identify with what they could have. It's like, oh, I have a Ferrari. And they're like, well, you never miss what you never had. So that's good for you. Oh, I live in this house. Or I have every day free with my kids, my family. Most people don't identify with things that they don't have. It's like, good for you. Or that must be nice. Or I wish one day, someday. They start to say comments like that. So I want to take you on this exercise. And I want to do the opposite. I don't want to talk about... I kind of already talked about if you had a penny a day, you could double it. You could be a millionaire. But that was really just to show you that if you get started with what you have and you give it time, where could you be over time? But I want to take the reverse approach. And this is something that I did when I first started to invest. And I didn't really know that I did it, but I look back on it and I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I did. And so what I did was, instead of thinking about like all the things that I could have, I'm like, oh, one day I want to drive that car, live in that neighborhood. I want to do the reverse. I want to talk about what's at stake if you don't do this. Forget about what you could have. Let's talk about what's at stake if you don't do this. All right. And if you're really bold, I want you to get out a piece of paper, right? If you're driving and you're listening to this, obviously you can't get out a piece of paper, but I just want you to think about this, or, you know, finish listening to the episode, but come back to it when you're at home and in a place where you can really write this down. If you're married, do this with your spouse. If you are single, you know, do it with yourself, do it with a friend. If you're dating somebody, do it with a partner. Do it with your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend, or life partner, whatever you want to call this person, right? But I want you to ask yourself, what's at stake if you don't do this? And I really want to break this down into four categories, okay? And so the four categories, category number one is family. I want you to ask, what's at stake if I don't do this for my family? Now, I don't know what the answer is for you, but when I used to think back, I used to say, man, one day I'm going to be married, or one day I want to have kids, God willing, right? I'll be married, God willing, I'll have kids, right? You never know if you will have either one of those things. You never know if you'll stay married, right? Or you, all these things. But I said, one day I want to have a family. You know, whatever that means. So it could be you and your dogs. You want to have horses. You know, whatever. You could just be your immediate family. I want to be around my mother, my father. You want to be able to visit your, maybe you have a sister or a brother that has kids, but they live in California. You'd love to go visit more often. One day you're going to want to be around your family, spend time with them. For me, I said, man, one day, because my mother worked two jobs when I was growing up. And so I love my mom, good person. But like, I mean, I saw my mom leave, go to work. I saw my mom, like sometimes she didn't even come home. She went straight to her other job. So I mean, we wouldn't see her sometimes till late at night, or maybe we'd be asleep, we'd see her the next morning. But we had this period in time where my mom just had to do what she had to do. She had to grind. And I said, man, one day I like want to be home with my kids. One day I want to like take them to the bus stop and be there to pick them up when they get off the bus. Matter of fact, I want to drive them to school and be there to pick them up when they get home from school. And at the time, you know, I was working weekends. I was working like retail hours, like 10 in the morning to like 9 at night. And then we got to stay and close the store. And I said, if I continue down this path, if I don't do this, if I don't get into the stock market, if I don't find a way to make money outside of this, I was like, man, there's no way I'm going to be able to be there for my family like I want to. There's no way I'm going to be able to pick my kids up from school because I'm working. There's no way I'm going to be able to drop them off. I'm probably sleeping in, or I'm going to be tired for work, right? And so I was like, there's no way I'm going to live the lifestyle that I want for my family. And I thought about the vacations. I thought about traveling. You know, we got family from different states. And I thought, man, in my mother's older years, she needs to be in a warmer climate. Doesn't necessarily need to be up here in Michigan in the snow. And I'm thinking like, well, how often will I see her? And I immediately said, well, how many days do I get for vacation? I got 2 weeks. Well, am I going to spend the 2 weeks going to see my mom? Then when will we go to Disneyland? Or when will I go on the vacation to just recharge and refresh, right? And so I really started thinking like, man, if I don't do this, what does this mean for my family, for my future kids, my future mom when she gets older, the future version of herself as she gets older and lives in a different state or in a warmer climate? You know, can I provide the best healthcare for her in her older age? Can I provide the best wheelchair ramp if she has to be in the wheelchair? You know, can I provide the best care for my family? And so it switched me from thinking about what do I want, what kind of car and house. And I was like, man, but what happens if I don't do this for my family? The second thing is I want you to ask yourself is what happens on a personal level if you don't do this? Like on a personal level, what I mean by that is like, I'm like, if I don't do this, meaning if I don't learn about the stock market, if I don't learn about investing. Now, there's many things you can go learn about, but I'm talking about the stock market. I said, if I don't do this on a personal level, I started asking myself, like, what are my choices? And when I looked at my choices, first of all, I said, well, I want to franchise a McDonald's. I think everyone grows up wanting to franchise a McDonald's because you think like that's the way to go. Like if I can own a McDonald's one day, and then you Google like how much it costs to open a franchise of McDonald's, like you must have $1.2 million cash and have a $3 million liquid net worth or something crazy like that. And I thought, I guess I won't be opening a McDonald's because where am I going to get that kind of cash, right? And so once again, your dreams are dashed. So on a personal level, I'm like, well, then what am I going to do? And even if I did open the McDonald's, I can only make money on that street corner. I can't make money all over the world. I can't make money while I'm on vacation. Well, technically, I can if somebody's running the restaurant, right? I can't make money in my sleep unless the McDonald's is 24 hours. And I don't know many 24-hour McDonald's, so I can't make money in my sleep. You know, But what are my options? What are my options if I don't do this, right? And so I started also thinking on a personal level, you start asking those questions like, what does that say about me if I don't do this? I'm like, am I a person that's afraid to take risk? Am I a person that, like, when I sit down and talk to my kids and say, well, Dad, why didn't you invest in the stock market? It's like, because I was scared. And then I start thinking, like, personally, like, wow, am I scared? Like, is that the character trait that I want attached to my last name, to who I am? Jason Brown, scaredy cat, you know? Am I a person that can't figure this out? You know, I start saying, like, man, so, like, am I not smart enough? Do I not have what it takes? And that's what I realized. It's not about being smart. It's about getting the right information. So then I'm like, am I a person that's not willing to go get the right information? So I start thinking, like, what does this mean? What's at stake if I don't do this? And what other areas in my life am I not willing to go get the right information? In what other areas in my life am I quote unquote labeled a scaredy cat? And so I start thinking about, like, what does that do for me mentally? Am I scared to go for the promotion on my job? Am I scared to go after the girl of my dreams that could possibly be my wife and the mother of my kid? Like, what other areas of my life now does that mean I'm scared? Where else do I fear rejection, fear failure that I'm not playing all out, playing full for in my life? So I started to ask myself, what does this mean personally? What's at stake if I don't go after this? And so I want you to think about that. Like, what's at stake personally if you don't go after this? What does this mean? You know, some people say, well, I'm in debt and, you know, I don't have any money to invest. Like, even me, when I was in debt and I didn't have any money to invest, I asked myself, what does this mean? Does this mean this day and age, living in America, when you can drive Uber, drive Lyft, do DoorDash, get a real estate license, you could borrow money from a credit card. In this day and age, I think back on what slaves went through, what our ancestors went through, all of that, and they persevere. In this day and age, I can't be resourceful enough to A, come up with money. I can't be disciplined enough to get out of debt. I really can't figure this out in this modern day and age of YouTube, Google, all the personal finance information that's available. You know, it's easier than ever to open a brokerage account now. They even let you trade stocks for free, no commission. All of the hurdles that have been knocked down for me to succeed, and I still have excuses. I still can't figure this out. And I said, so what's at stake if I can't figure this out? What else can I figure out? What else am I throwing the towel in and saying, like, because of my circumstances, I can't succeed, right? And so I want you to ask yourself personally, what does this mean for you if you don't do this? Because then I start to say, well, if I don't do this, I guess I'm also saying, like, I guess I'll never live in that house. I'll never drive that car. Maybe it's not so bad if I can't take my kids to school. Other people can't take their kids to school. Then I start saying, like, man, but do I really want to be like other people? Right? I mean, it's like, so what does that mean? I'm like everybody else? I don't want to be like everybody else. So what does this mean? What's at stake personally if I don't do this? Let's talk about health. Let's talk about health. Here's something that I noticed about health. I noticed that most wealthy people have good health. Let me give you an example. And I know Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and different people, they are athletes. So health is a part of their lifestyle. But I remember there was an interview or something, and I might be fudging the numbers. So don't crucify me here if you know the real numbers. I should open up let me see. I want to just Google it here. Now, you can't see me Google it if you listen to the podcast, but I'm Googling, how much does LeBron James spend on health?
And then here it is. It says Los Angeles Lakers, at this time he's playing for the Lakers, LeBron James reportedly spends $1.5 million on his body every year. Now, I want you to think about that. That means he spends over $100,000 a month on his body, his soul, his temple, his fit. The only body that we have, by the way. I haven't found somebody that gets two. All right. You might get a knee replacement, get a second knee or something, but you don't get a whole new body. All right. He spends $1.5 million a year between nutrition, food, trainers, working out, etc. Now, again, that's a big number. He's an athlete. All right. So I don't expect the average person to spend $1.5 million on their health every year. But I want you to, I started to think about my own personal health and says, man, like, I noticed that if you can't afford the better foods, if you can't afford a personal chef, if you can't afford the best gym membership, spa membership for your skin, your hair, if you can't afford the best products that you're not putting harmful chemicals in your body, then you're left with like the fast food. You're left with, now obviously, guys, you can modify this. And I'm not saying you can't eat healthy on a budget. But what I'm saying is when you have money, you can afford, because we all know the single truth is that cheap food ain't good and good food ain't cheap. That's just a fact, right? That's just a fact. If you go buy the natural maple syrup and you buy the best milk and you buy the best organic meat, all this stuff, the farm-raised cattle, everything that is, for the most part, good for you comes with a premium price. And I started thinking like, man, what does this mean for my health? You know, if Will Smith wants to lose his gut for a movie, he hires the best trainers, the best dietitian, and they put him on a plan where in 30 days, 3 months, whatever, he can cut the weight, he could trim up, he can size up, size down, do whatever he needs to do. While the average person can't figure out how to lose 10 pounds, can't figure out how to lose 15 pounds, can't figure out how to lose their gut, can't figure out how to lose their double chin. But why is it that Will Smith or someone that's an actor can transform their body on demand? Typically, they got access to the best trainers, the best coaches, best nutritionists, best workout machines, best equipment, best way to do it, best form factor to use, right? And so I started asking myself, what does this mean for my health long term? You know, I don't know Magic Johnson. And I'm going to use this example just because, for example, Kanye West rapped about this. And what he said kind of hit home. He said, you know, everyone knows that Magic Johnson at some point contracted HIV. And, you know, he was flying to Europe or somewhere getting these special treatments, this, that, and the third. Well, obviously, Magic Johnson has lived a long, healthy life. And I believe that HIV in his body is so small that it might even be undetectable, right? And so Kanye West, in one of his songs, said, so if my auntie had Magic's money with HIV, would she still be alive? Right. And it wasn't a blow at Magic Johnson. The point of that verse was that when you have that type of money, who knows what type of treatments he's able to afford. What he might can take a private jet to Europe or somewhere to practice some medicine that they're not practicing in the Western Americas that he has access to, and you could too, but it's not approved over here, or you don't have a private jet to get over there to take the treatment. What if the treatment is once a day for, a year? I mean, he could fly private jet over there once a day, every day for a year, and it would mean nothing to him. So I know that's like a far out example, but what I'm trying to say is when you bring it home to your real life, I want you to ask yourself, what does it mean for your health if you don't figure this out? What does it mean for the type of insurance you can afford, the type of medical care you can afford? What does it mean for needing braces, but you can't get the braces? So what does that mean for your teeth?
What does it mean for your kids who need braces, but you may not be able to afford it? What does it mean for their teeth? Are they going to now get teased in school because of a $3,000 problem? You could have cut a check, but now you can't afford it. So now their teeth are crooked. What does it mean? What does it mean for your gut? Does it mean you can't afford to eat healthy? So you have a gut, which means you end up getting some type of stomach or belly disease. They say most disease for men, I think African-American men, start in their belly and their gut, right? So now what does that mean? Does that mean bigger hospital bills? Does that mean you won't be around for your kids, your family? Like, what does it mean for your health if you don't do this? Versus saying, if you do this, you'll be able to eat caviar in Italy somewhere. You'll be able to eat the best foods in Alaska. They'll catch you the best Alaskan salmon and cook it right there. It's like most people don't identify with the exciting things that you can do. So, which is why we're reversing this. And I don't want this to seem like a dark episode, but this is an episode that I want you to really think, well, what does this mean for my health if I don't figure this out, if I don't take that first step? And then I want you to ask yourself, what does this mean for your wealth? And what I mean by your wealth is, like, what does this mean for your legacy of passing wealth down to your kids if you choose to? But some people don't have kids. So what does this mean about being able to tithe and give to your church, your charity, your community, that homeless shelter that you're passionate about? What does this mean about when you, as a father or a mother, go to your kid's little league game and the coach says, we don't have enough money to get the kids jerseys. We got to do a fundraiser. And you do a fundraiser and you guys still come up short. Wouldn't it be nice to just go in your pocket and say, how much is it? $1,000 to cover the rest? I got it, coach. Let's get them the jerseys they need, or let's get them the shoes they need to play soccer or whatever the game may be. But imagine you can't do that because you don't have the wealth. You don't have the money. You kind of turn your head like, don't look at me. I ain't cutting the extra check because I'm broke too. I work just like everybody else, right? Here we go. Just like everybody else. Y'all ain't got it. I ain't got it. But what would it mean to be able to step up with that check and be like, don't worry about it. I got it. A couple of my stocks are doing well. It's about time I take some capital gains. Let me send out a couple grand, right? What does it mean for, if you don't do this, what won't you be able to afford as far as, you know, I look at apartment buildings now that cost like $2-3 million, $1-3 million. I look at different investments that at least before I would be like, man, there's no way I'd ever be able to afford that. Now I look at them like, that's it? They just want $1 million for that building? I think I could do that. Give me a couple years. Give me a couple trades, which is a totally different space to be in. A totally different space. So the question I want you to ask yourself is, what does this mean for my wealth? What is it that you want to buy, invest in, that it's like, yeah, I guess I'll never be able to do that. Guess I'll never be able to afford that investment. I'll never be passing that down to my kids, because we'll never be able to afford that. So as we wrap up this episode, here's what I want to leave you with and encourage you with. When you go through what's at stake if I don't do this, family, personal, health, wealth, it can seem very depressing. Like, wow, I guess I won't be able to do any of that stuff. That should motivate you to say, wow, now I have a clear-cut view of what the alternative is. If I don't do that, here's the life of what's at stake. And am I willing to accept that? But you have a choice to say, but if I get involved, it's quite possible, A, I can avoid that pain over there of not being able to do for my family, of not going through the personal anguish of like, who am I as a person that I couldn't figure this out? You can avoid not having the best health or health care, access to the best foods, trainers, etc. And then on the wealth front, there's no limit to what you could possibly do. And you avoid your kids asking you someday, why not us? Why didn't you buy some Tesla? Why didn't you take a course? Why didn't you watch the YouTube video? It was free, right? Oh, so $2,000-$3,000 stopped you from building our family's wealth, from he's taking a course or connecting with the people who had the right information. You can avoid having to look your kid in the face and answer that question someday, or your spouse, or whatever that's important to you. But then you look over here to what's possible and you can say, man, if a penny a day, if I could just get started, if a penny a day doubled for 30 days could grow into over 5 million, just starting with a penny, a little bit. If you guys are into the Bible, you know, they say the faith of a mustard seed, which a mustard seed is super small. You got to have the faith of a mustard seed. You got to have a penny that doubles a day. What's possible for you if you get started with your $50, your $100, your $200, whatever it is that you think is insignificant, but you're discounting the power of compounded interest. You're discounting the fact that what if this does work and that 100, 200 turns into 2,000, 3,000. And then in month 2, 3, 4, that 2, 3,000 turns into 9 to 10,000. In over 5 years, that 10,000 turns into millions, or even 500,000 or 100,000. If it took 5 years to turn into 100,000, that's 1 full year that you didn't have to work for it, assuming your salary is $100,000 a year, right? And so I want to encourage you. I want to leave you and help you get excited about getting started wherever you are with what you have, because getting started is the power move. The power is in getting started. The power is not in how much you get started with. The power is in getting started. So I want to make sure you do this exercise. Think about what's at stake if you don't get started. And then I want you to look at what do you have to get started with? And I want you to take action and get started. You will be surprised how much you pay attention when you put $100 in the stock market and just buy your first stock. Just get started. And even below this video, we usually have a few ways that you can get started for free, or even get your free stock by signing up for like the Robinhood or the Webull that's in the link in the description, right? So there's even ways that you can get your first stock for free, but you wouldn't know that. Why? Because you've already discounted getting started. You've already said, I don't have time. I don't have enough money. I'm not smart enough. Maybe next year. Just get started. That's what I want to end with. I'll see you on the next episode.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you're ready to learn how to have your money work hard for you instead of you working hard for it, then I want you to join us inside Power Trades University. Power Trades University is my group coaching program where we look for real trades in the real market every week for 2 hours live. It's all recorded and timestamped in case you can't make it live. You also have access to my amazing community of traders, plus access to all of my best-selling stocks and option courses, and even my masterclasses. Just head on over to www.powertradesuniversity.com. Once again, just head on over to www.powertradesuniversity.com, and I'll see you on the inside.